Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show today. Robbie Starbuck. Have you seen the movie yet? The War on Children? I was honored to be in it. It came out in February, I think. And it is the most successful documentary this year in America. And it's not close. Like, no other documentary is close. Okay. Robbie and his wife, Landon. Robbie and Landon Starbuck, friends of mine, warriors out of Nashville, previously from the Hollywood industry, burnt their career by coming out as conservatives and willing to defend children and stand against the liberal establishment and the sexualization of children and what's happening in the schools. They are warriors, and they have the most successful documentary in the world right now, The War on Children. I was so honored to be featured in it as a thought leader and expert on some of these topics, on how all of these ideas came together and how it's resulted in this multifaceted, sort of multi-pronged, sort of multi-tentacled beast that is the war on children in America. In fact, one of the only pieces they don't cover is abortion, because it's such a leviathan in and of itself. Leave it to me to cover. They cover every other aspect of the war on children that's happening in America, and it is the best documentary I've ever seen. My buddy Robbie Starbuck on the show right now to talk about the most successful documentary, premiered on X. That's Twitter, y'all. Retweeted by Elon Musk. Just featured by Tucker Carlson. God is moving in this family and through this film they've created to awaken hearts and minds, to prick the conscience of the culture, and awaken the sleeping lions of parents in America to defend their children. The politicians ain't coming to save us, y'all. It's going to take you. Welcome to The Seth Gruber Show. Robbie Starbuck, brother, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today, brother. I'm excited of everything you're doing right now. There's so much to talk about. How do we describe you, brother, as the the bane of the pedophilic-leaning liberal establishment, Starbucks Studios, Megan Fox's nightmare? I can't keep track of your titles, bro.
You know, I'm bad at titles too, but as long as I'm shaking, you know, things up and making evil angry, I think I'm doing good. So that's my main goal every day. Wake up, make evil people angry.
That's right, brother. Robbie, we've been friends for a couple of years now. You shaking it up would be, I think, an understatement. You and your wife are, I think, some of the biggest power couples I've ever met. And you ran for Congress a few years ago. You didn't win. You became a target of the liberal regime. And now you're kind of one of the forerunners of this fight to protect children, to protect women's spaces, and to expose this disgusting agenda behind transgenderism, gender theory, but really a broader war on children. And I had the honor of being in your and your wife's new film, The War on Children. For you guys who have not watched it, you need to go watch it. Robbie's going to tell you how to go watch it. But brother, tell us this story. Why did you make this film, and what moved you and your wife's heart to go through the grueling process of studying these things, thinking about it, getting interviews, exposing it? And then Elon Musk shares the film on Twitter. Tell us, take us on a journey of how God led you to make this culture-shaking nightmare for liberals kind of film.
Yeah, you know, well, it starts a little further back. Only correction I would give to the premise of the question is, you know, when I ran for Congress, I actually was removed from the ballot. We were winning. We were winning by a lot. They removed me from the ballot, which was pretty un-American and bizarre. Previous to that, though, I was directing, you know, big stars in Hollywood. And to be honest, you know, I was definitely obviously a very conservative person in Hollywood. However, I was not. It was not consuming my spirit and soul in terms of the issues of the day on a daily basis. I think I had sort of numbed myself in Hollywood to the understanding that, like, okay, your job is to do this. You disagree with a lot of the stuff going on in your industry, but maybe you can put lipstick on a pig type of thing. You know, if you can make things slightly better, then, you know, you're doing good. I had convinced myself of that for too long. And eventually I got to this point as a father, as a husband, as a man, where I'm like, you're not making the difference you can make, and you're not taking the risks that you should take. You know, you want to be proud of yourself on your deathbed, you better start doing things differently. And so part of that was publicly coming out as a conservative and publicly being unashamed of my views and saying, you know what, I don't care what happens. I knew what was going to happen, that I was going to, you know, face a lot of censorship and blackballing in the industry and everything like that. And, you know, I was okay with it, because ultimately my family came here from Cuba and they fled communism once. And I realized, living as an American citizen and being born here and being lucky enough to be born here, that, you know, I don't have somewhere to flee to with my kids if communism takes over America. My mom was able to flee here. And freedom, really, and what this country stood for, was able to give me the opportunity in one generation to become a success, do well in business, you know, and be able to have the opportunity to make a culture shaping, changing, shaking film like this. And ultimately, that promise, that opportunity is going to be gone for my kids. And I realize that unless we change something now. And so in terms of the premise of why we made the film, you know, my wife and I were very involved in these issues about a decade ago. Our oldest daughter's 15. And so when she first got into school, we started to notice some things in California where we lived at the time. We live in Tennessee now, and my wife's from Texas, but we lived in California at the time because of my business. And we saw this stuff was encroaching, and we said, what happens in California, it's going to spread everywhere. And so we were already fighting back then when people thought we were crazy for fighting against these concepts. They were like, oh, none of this is going to happen. It's not going to go that far. And everything we said would happen has happened. And now we're warning people again, it's not only going this far, it's going to go much further. And this is really about a political desire to usher our country into a new modern form of communism. And so, you know, this was sort of the culmination of a lot of the research and work my wife and I had done in these spaces on how are we going to protect kids? Are we going to take our position and, you know, sort of use the godly authority we have as parents to lead our kids and to show them the right direction to go into, to, you know, sort of be living examples of what we want them to be? Because ultimately, we all want as parents our kids to be better than we are. And how can they be if we have no moral courage, if we're not upright, if we're not upstanding, if we don't have any sense of right and wrong that we're displaying in our own actions, how can we expect better of our kids? And so, you know, this film really wrapped it all together. And then the Elon Musk portion, I mean, was just, I can't say enough good things about Elon, because the risks he has taken in so many aspects recently is a generational rare sort of quality. Yeah. You know, you don't see this very often. Even sharing our film, I want people to think about this. Our film calls out the CCP. It drags Mao and the Cultural Revolution and communism in so many different ways and exposes it for the disgusting evil that it is.
Yep.
And he still shared the movie. He still promoted the movie, despite knowing that he has business interests in that part of the world. And he's doing these things without fear, because he understands that ultimately the fight we're in is one that is about civilizational ruin or the survival of humanity in the end.
That's right.
And if you understand that premise, and you understand that, you know, you can die with all the money in the world, but if you don't save things for our kids and grandchildren, they're going to be living through something really hellacious.
Come on.
And that's where evil runs the world to a degree that I know it feels like evil runs the world right now, but what we're facing, would see what it really looks like for evil to run the entire world. So a movie like this helps to shift the culture and change things and make certain things more acceptable, move the Overton window back in a sane direction, and wakes up parents to the fact that they need to be warriors for our kids, because ultimately that's what this is really about. Parents, grandparents, step up, be warriors for your children, know what's really going on, because there's so many things people are asleep to, and this movie wakes them up. And it's why people like Rand Paul, Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Matt Walsh and so many others have come out saying parents, people need to see this movie. They need to see it.
Yep. Yep, Robbie. And I, as someone honored to be in the film, I got to see a screener of it. And, you know, bro, it's none of it surprised me because I'm in this fight with you. This is my life. And I wasn't shocked by anything. And yet I was sitting at the airport and I was getting emotional. I was getting very angry. I was getting very worked up. I had to pause the film a couple times. And I'm not even learning anything. Now, I swim in these waters. So, like, if you guys are listening to this, you will learn a ton. And you need to watch it. But as a watchman like Robbie, I was like, yeah, I remember that. It's disgusting. But the way you and your team put it together, exposed the various iterations and unfoldings of the war on children, the sexualizing of children, the dehumanizing of children, the dismissal of children, and put it all together in this package with a bow on it was so intensely emotionally moving that I had to pause it a couple times. And I think it's a film that Elon Musk said rightly, every parent should watch this. But I want to know, brother, when did you and your wife land in? What was the major point at which you were like, we're burning the boats? You've been very aware of this stuff for a long time, but when did you really burn the boats, abandon any, you know, opportunity of being a darling of Hollywood and jump into the deep end to protect children and ensure a future for our posterity?
You know, to be honest, that moment happened earlier than a lot of people would think, because I really feel like personally it was 2015 going into 2016 when I came out. I did an interview on Varney, Stuart Varney's show on Fox Business. And I just came out as a Republican, said I was voting for Trump. And I, at the time, you have to understand, my company had a contract with Paramount Pictures. And obviously that was not the popular view within Hollywood. And I knew what was going to happen as a byproduct of that interview. But my wife and I had made a conscious decision the night before that it doesn't matter. If it burns down my whole career, so be it. Because our kids are not going to have a chance to have a career and have their dreams and have freedom if we don't stand up, because we could see where the train was going. And, you know, that was very important. I mean, one thing I forgot before is to tell people, if you want to go see the movie or bookmark it for later, go to thewaronchildren.com. Very important. Do that. And a big reason we made this as well was not to speak to our own side. And I think that's very important, because there's a lot of no party affiliated independent people out there who just kind of like, you know, they go through life and they'll see this negative story where it's like, you know, this kid was transitioned, let's say, you know, at 12 years old, which can't truly transition, but just for the sake of getting in their mindset. Say they see that story and they see this kid was harmed by it. They're now suing a doctor and they go, oh, that's awful. Okay. 2 weeks later, they're on their lunch break and they see a news story about how the Colorado Teachers Union put out a pro-communist statement and attack capitalism. And they might go, oh, that is weird. That's very fringy. That's crazy. I can't believe they did that.
Right.
See, a normal person goes through life. Life is very busy. They don't have time to put all this stuff together, connect all the dots. And a big reason we made this movie was because we said, you know what? A lot of people, they kind of feel like something weird is going on, but it's hard to put it all together when you're just getting it piecemeal a few weeks at a time. We need to put everything together, connect the dots, show who's behind this, how, what are they trying to do, what is the ultimate goal, and get it all put together in one place. Because another thing, I had this great conversation with Kelly Paul, Rand Paul's wife. And Kelly, she's brilliant. They wrote this great book together, The Case Against Socialism, a fantastic book. And Kelly said, Robbie, the most important thing about this movie is that I know these people in the DC area in Virginia who just do not believe this is happening. They don't believe that there's drag queens performing sexually provocatively for kids. They don't believe that kids are having surgeries at 13 years old. They don't believe that there's this crazy curriculum going into the schools. They just don't believe that this is real. And now we have this one thing we can do. Give them the film to watch it. And you can, whether it's buy a DVD, buy the movie digitally, or you can do a gifting option at thewaronchildren.com. You can gift this to those people in your life and wake them up for good. Because once you see this movie, we say it at the very beginning, in the opening, where I give the warning to the viewer. You know, make your decision now if you want to watch this. Because if you don't want to have to get off the fence and you don't want to have to pick a side in this war, turn off the screen now, because you're not going to be able to watch this movie and be a lukewarm fence sitter anymore. You're not going to be able to watch this movie and go, oh, well, I mean, there's some bad stuff going on, but, you know, I'm sure someone else will fix it, because you develop this understanding through the movie that no politician is coming to save you. No politician is coming to save you. They're not coming to save your kids. This is on you. It's on us on a local level to fix our communities, because the truth is, if we all take responsibility and we do that, then eventually you take an eagle eye view of our country and you're going to see, oh my gosh, each one of these micro areas is protected. And by proxy, our whole country is now protected. You know, part of the problem is people got apathetic. Parents got apathetic. Everybody took on this mindset of, oh, big daddy government is going to save us. They're going to be there and protect our kids, our communities, everything else. That is not the place of government. People have gotten wholly unaligned with the intention of our founding as a country. It's on us. Yep. This is supposed to be about we the people. That means you have accountability. That means you have a job to do. That means you need to be a protector. And it goes beyond the formation of our country and our founders. It goes to what God intended for us. Doesn't matter what you believe. I'm a Christian. But if you believe in God, you have an understanding that you were created for a purpose. Yep. And that purpose involves you as a parent standing up for the most vulnerable, even if you're not a parent. Stand up for our children. Stand up for the vulnerable. Know right and wrong. Do the right thing. Live a righteous and moral life. And that means taking action. You cannot afford to be a fence sitter or be lukewarm on these issues that are affecting kids. If you want any sort of righteous moral life, you just can't. You can't sit by and watch this happen. And so that was really a lot of the purpose behind the film, was to give people that moral clarity again of their place. You are not insignificant. You are not somebody who is incapable of changing things. That is a lie that has been told by deceivers, and we know where deception comes from. It comes from a very evil place. You have been deceived into believing that you are powerless, you cannot change things, and that is a lie from the worst pits of hell. You are worthwhile. You can change things, and it is time for parents and adults everywhere to take their place, reclaim their power, and understand that they have the responsibility to change things.
That's right. Wow, Robbie, come on. We got to put you in a pulpit, brother. That'll preach right there, man. I like saying that the three words that the liberal establishment and the culture of death hate the most is we the people. And I, your film did that so well, to call people to wake up and take action. And of course, to your point about if that happens collectively in communities simultaneously across the country, that's what stops evil. That's what's a bulwark to evil. That's what promotes a culture of life. And that's what the left has done. That's how the left has created this culture of death, is they were exercising dominion. They were furthering an agenda. They were inculcating their vision into the minds of the next generation. They were advocating for policies that reflected their debased, humanistic, demonic ideology. And they did it collectively all across the country simultaneously, and it changed the culture. We literally just have to do what they've done in reverse. We have to reverse architect this entire thing. And your film is, I think, one of the best things out there right now to slap people in the face and wake them up. And when it came out, the coverage of the activist media, of the legacy media, just gave away the whole game, brother. Whenever the left and the legacy media is like, "Rah, that's a lie. You're a QAnon. And they just lose their minds over something that someone on the right has said or done. I'm like, then whatever they're saying is a lie is probably totally true. Can you talk about the response to your film coming out? We'd like to thank our sponsor of the Seth Gruber Show, Every Life, Every Life Diaper. Come on, guys, this is just laughably easy. I couldn't have thought of like an easier no-brainer of a sponsor to have on this show. If you have babies, if you have kids who have babies, if you have cousins who have babies, if you support your pregnancy resource center and they need diapers, or your nursery at your church. If you listen to this, you probably go to church. Go to your church. Tell them everylife.com. Promo code Seth10, Seth10 to get 10% off. How is it that this is the only baby brand diaper company in America, the only major one, that doesn't support the abortion industry? all eight of the major baby brands financially or rhetorically support the abortion industry. So they're subsidizing and funding the slaughter of their clientele base. Because if those babies aren't born, then you can't sell them diapers. This is La La Land stuff, okay? Go to everylife.com. This is how we defund the culture of death. You understand? To rebuild a culture of life, you got to defund the culture of death. Everylife.com, promo code Seth10, Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Send that to your pregnancy center, your church, those that you love who are having babies. Tell them to get their diapers there. If you subscribe and you do the subscription, you save more money. Everylife.com. Thank you, Everylife, for sponsoring the Seth Gruber Show.
The most important thing. This has slapped the face of 50 million people worldwide with the truth. Okay? That is incredible. It makes it the most watched documentary of the year, and it's not particularly close, and it's growing. That's what's incredible. It's like we didn't have this massive drop. We're still, every weekend, we're seeing people watching the film and more people jumping on. Tucker Carlson just had us, you know, and is exposing this movie out there to millions of people. And so this is continuing to happen. This is sort of like, you know how What Is a Woman sort of had this long movement where it just kept growing. Same thing's happening with this film. And I think it also speaks to how hungry people are for the truth, you know. And when the legacy media, this is what I think is incredible, and I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to do this, but I noticed something really funny. Certain outlets purchased the movie to watch it and then never wrote anything. And I think that is actually the most telling thing about the response, because the really big ones, they wanted to find something wrong with this movie. They wanted to so bad, Seth. They wanted to find some place we screwed up on the facts. They wanted to find some mistake we made, and they wanted to hammer us with it and destroy this film. They couldn't do it, though, because we were very careful. We made sure that we dotted our I's and crossed our T's. The facts were correct. And we used a lot of their own studies, their own research to hang them with. Because what a lot of people don't realize is communists, they love to show off, okay? So a lot of the stuff that was proven through this documentary is stuff that these people were ranting and raving about themselves in places where they thought nobody would see it. You know, like these very academic, prestigious papers right. that they write that they think nobody's going to read. Well, we read them. We got to the bottom of them. Or we researched their farcical sort of, you know, research, like places like the Trevor Project did, where they don't disclose, you know, that they're doing it with convenient sampling, or that they're handing out gift cards and they're basically using these poor mentally ill children for the purposes of driving the results they want out of the research. You know, wow. So all of this goes on and these people watch this film. At the end of it, they go, oh, crap, we can't write a hit piece because we don't have a great angle. And then a place like Rolling Stone, where they still attempt it, they attempt the hit piece. It's not about the content of the film. Go read the hit piece. I'll say this. The only reason I don't encourage it is don't give Rolling Stone any more hits. But I will say the great thing about it is they couldn't attack the content of the film. Their whole thing was, well, basically they're mean, and you know, the drag queen that they interviewed didn't feel safe in the inter-, which by the way, when the drag queen asked who we are, we told them who we are. We went through the whole interview. We told them multiple times in the interview, if you don't feel like you want to do this interview, you can leave. If you feel like this is not, you know, a fair setting or whatever, I'm happy. I even offered, I'm happy to come to your turf. I will come to wherever it is you perform drag and I will interview you there. You can even bring your friends. That was an offer I gave them. They declined it. And so they continued with the interview for 2 hours. So Rolling Stone's whole premise is just hilarious. They don't mention any of those things. We were exceedingly fair to everybody we sat down with. To tell you the truth, you know what I was actually hoping for in the interview with the drag performer person? Is I was actually hoping that they would draw a boundary and draw a line, because I thought that could be a really powerful cultural moment if they would draw that boundary within their own community and say, actually, no, this is wrong. We do need to draw a line at this hypersexual behavior around kids. It's not appropriate. Even if we disagree on other things, let's at least agree on that this is not okay, because the example we use and show that person is horrific. And they couldn't do that. And I noticed something in that moment. I was like, oh my gosh, looking in their eyes, I felt like, this is my personal opinion here, but I felt like they knew it was wrong, but they were terrified to say so. they were so terrified of the backlash within their own community and what would happen if they drew that line, that they were more comfortable looking as if they were unwilling to go out there and say, no, this is absolutely wrong, can't do this. Think about that. Think about how messed up that is psychologically, how messed up the mindset of a community needs to be for that to be what occurs. But that's exactly what happened. So, you know, I think that the coverage and the pandemonium around it, it kind of speaks for itself, because truly righteous people that are taking risks, that are doing the right thing, they're telling everybody, watch this movie. And I want to tell people something about that. These people taking risks like Elon Musk, I'll use my own case, because I didn't have billions of dollars at the beginning of it. I did well in you know, my work before when I burned my career down. I had done well and everything, but I was not a billionaire like Elon Musk. And I really did have to have that, you know, heart to heart with Landon, my wife, where it's like, okay, this is going to affect us financially and everything else. But we just said, you know what? We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. And, even if that means, and that doesn't mean, you know, because I'm not a believer in the prosperity gospel. I don't believe, like, you know, you're going to pray and God's going to give you millions of dollars. I think that that's very wrongheaded of people sometimes. And I think it actually sets up a lot of people to fail and turn away from God. The truth is, you know, you have to trust that God is going to be there along your side no matter where your journey takes you. So if that was going to take us to a bad place where we were in poverty or whatever, you know, we were willing to go down whatever path it took us. And just the knowledge God's by your side, has you covered, has you protected, that's enough, you know, because if we've got each other, we've got our kids, we're going to be okay. But the truth is, so many doors, so many windows were opened up by God along the way that just, I wish I had some other explanation I could give you where I'm like, oh, I'm so brilliant that X happened, but I'm not that brilliant, Seth. Doors and windows just opened up, you know, like Elon Musk's case, he just discovered me online and liked the way I talked about things, you know, and wanted to see what we were doing. And that is not something I can explain myself. That's God working. And I truly believe God's working in so many beautiful ways right now and most unexpected ways. And I think that, you know, people need to understand it's okay to take those risks. God's going to have your back no matter what that looks like. And that trust is essential. It's important to have that trust in God and the path you're going to go down, that even if it's hard, it is right. It is just.
Yep. That's incredible. And dude, tell people how many people viewed the trailer when Elon Musk sent it out or retweeted you on X.
Honestly, I'm not even sure what it is at this point. It was tens and tens and tens and tens of millions. I don't know what the number is at this point. I know 50 million plus people have watched the actual movie because I just had that number given to me very recently. But the trailer, I don't even know. I mean, it went crazy. It went nuts.
Yeah. That's incredible. What a providential God thing, man. That's just incredible. Obviously you had an international audience, but that's, you know, what is that? One sixth of the American public, and congrats, brother, on the success of the film. Tell people again where they can watch it, where they can purchase it, how they can stream it, so that they can watch it right now.
Yep, go to thewaronchildren.com. That's the best place to go, thewaronchildren.com, and it's got all the options there to watch at different places. And the ability to gift to other people, to get DVDs. And if you're a church or a group leader for a local activist group, we are helping give free screenings as well. So just contact Lindsay, Lindsay, at robbystarbuck.com, and she'll help you set up that free screening, because we really want to help the people willing to give their time as activists, as community leaders, and wake up the parents and pastors in the church. So definitely take that option up as well.
Yep. And for you guys tuning in right now, it is a shocking film. And so viewer discretion is advised.
Yeah, no kids.
Yeah, no kids. And then as a parent, exercise discretion at the teenage level. You know, if she's a senior going off to college, she should probably watch it. But, you know, exercise discretion in the early teenage years. It is quite shocking. It can be quite vile. Because that's where the culture's at.
People needed to see it, though. You know, that, that was a conversation I had with a, that's a convo I had with a couple different pastors, Steph, because I was grappling with that where I'm like, is it too graphic in some ways? And what I came away with was, you know, too many people don't understand what's happening and they need to, and they had to see it to understand it. And I wish that wasn't the case, but it is the case. And, but I definitely agree. You know, I don't think any kids should see this. If your kid's a senior in high school, definitely, you know, use discretion, what you think is appropriate and stuff. There's definitely sections of the film that I would show my kids, you know, as a section and be like, hey, you should watch this part here, type of thing. So definitely I'm right there with you. Use parental discretion. Parents know what works, what doesn't.
Yes, yes. But I completely stand behind what Robbie just said, that it was necessary. It was necessary for those clips to be in the film. By the way, it is over 2 hours long, but I it's the best documentary I've ever seen. And how Landon and Robbie put all the pieces together is frankly brilliant. It's like it's a piece of art. It's a masterpiece of a documentary. And I think it required over 2 hours to do that correctly, because they're not just talking about the gender theory, transgender delusion that's targeting children. It's way bigger than that. In fact, the only piece you didn't capture on the war on children is abortion. But that's because that's such another Leviathan and behemoth of an evil that it requires its own documentary. But so otherwise... go ahead.
Two subjects that we didn't get to that I wanted to cover. One was abortion. The second one was child protective services. Mm. Both of those issues were such juggernauts in terms of how much time it would take. We were like, okay, do we turn it into a series? But series are hard to keep people's attention on. And even with the content we had in the film, our original cut, I think, was 2 hours, 42 minutes. So we had to cut a bunch of stuff out from that original cut as well of other stuff that didn't even have to do with those two subjects. So it was like, okay, those are going to require their own coverage in different ways in stuff down the line. So you're absolutely right, though. I mean, it's like we cover everything except for those two areas pretty much.
And I didn't even ask you why that wasn't in the film, because the answer was self-evident. They're such juggernauts, they require their own documentaries, which is why, guys, this summer I'm coming out with the 1916 Project, a film that is going to change the culture on the pro-life front and on how this culture of death was created. And we do touch on other topics, but it is mainly the legacy of Planned Parenthood, the 1916 Project. So I did that piece for you, brother. But everyone, The War on Children, best documentary I've ever seen, thewaronchildren.com. Please go watch it. And brother, before we let you go, what's one piece that really shocked or changed or shook you and your wife in the filmmaking process? Just your experience and the story behind making the film. What's something that really shook you guys?
I wish I had been shocked, mainly because that would mean that I hadn't become somewhat desensitized to some of this stuff. But the reality is we've gone so deep in understanding everything that's going on that at a certain point you do have to desensitize a little bit, because you have to be able to carry on your life and be a happy dad and you know, all those things. So I wasn't really shocked by anything content wise personally, just because of my experience in life. However, the one thing that really hit me hard and where I got emotional, and I'm kind of known for not being super emotional. I'm very even keeled and relaxed and all those things. But the interview with Jay Lee's mom, that's the mother whose daughter committed suicide, where the state of California stole her child. They kidnapped her kid, and they transitioned her kid without her consent, all because the mom would not affirm transgenderism. And this is a mother who's, you know, already got a language barrier, and she had so many difficulties already. And the way the state abused that mother and her child and her other children just by proxy was so disgusting, so evil, so vile. That part of me as a man that wants to protect the most vulnerable was just enraged to the degree where at a certain point it reaches just a level of sadness where you have to let it go. You have to let it out. And it made me both enraged and so sad as you understand what really happened to her child, because what a lot of people don't know is that the day before her daughter committed suicide, she called her mom and she was still in the state's care. And she said, "Mom, I made a big mistake. I want to detransition, but I'm afraid of what these people are going to say, what they're going to do, how they're going to treat me." She's talking about the people in the state facility, you know, be it staff or other people who were in there. And then the next day, the mom gets the phone call that she threw herself in front of a train. And as the mom tells the story to us, it just like all the feels as the dad just came out. And that was tough. And I think will always stick with me as one of the toughest interviews or discussions I've ever had with another parent, because you just know as a parent, like the heaviness of it. And I don't think that'll ever leave me.
My gosh. Robbie, what's changed in the state of California legislatively that would prevent that from happening again to another family?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. What happens in California?
It's gotten worse, actually.
Has it? Yeah, that's true. Do you remember when Newsom vetoed, by the way, I think it means that he's running for president and they're going to swap him out right after the DNC, and they're going to remove Biden. That's just my opinion. Anyways, he vetoed a bill.
I've been saying that for 3 years.
Yes. Newsom, American psycho governor, who used to be my governor too, Robbie, I only left California in 2022 to be closer to in-laws. And he vetoed a bill that Jay Inslee, governor of Washington, signed. And you talk about this Washington bill, by the way, in the film, that essentially allows the state to kidnap your kid and put them in a government housing facility. And if they think they're trans and one or both parents doesn't approve or support the gender identity or refuses to use pronouns, then the state, if in the quote unquote mental health of the child, doesn't have to tell the parents, and they can basically keep your child hidden from you in a government funded housing. It's ridiculous. Newsom, similar bill, he vetoes it. What did that mean to you? And where do you think some of this stuff is going at a high level politically, Robbie?
It meant to me that he's running for president, and he knows that that is going to be extremely unpopular. But he also knew that he didn't need to sign it, that it was already happening in the state of California. And if you read through the governor's office statement that came out after that, it's explicitly clear that they understood that the state could already do that. And so they found it unnecessary in the first place. But they weren't going to hamstring him in a presidential possible general election match. That's what it said to me. And even if that's not 2024, which I believe it will be, that's coming in 2028. And this issue is only going to become more unpopular over the next 4 years as more thousands upon thousands of children detransition.
Exactly right. Wow, Robbie. That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself. Guys, this stuff is happening. It is happening. You're not a conspiracy theorist. It's demonic. It's evil. There's no way to understand it, actually, outside of a theological and spiritual framework and lens. And brother, God has raised you and your wife up at this hour, I believe, for such a time as this, to be those warriors on the front lines, awakening the other sleeping lions to become protectors and defenders of children. And that's what this film does. It awakens the other sleeping lions. It is changing minds and hearts. And I want everyone right now listening to this to go to thewaronchildren.com and buy the film, support the film, gift it to a liberal who's sort of tolerating these things, and have a screening at your church for 18 and older. And get this film out there. Share it on social media. Share the link, share the clips that Robbie's team have cut up. This is I think one of the most significant documentaries that I've ever seen. And according to Robbie, the most successful one of the year. Brother, any final words for people listening today?
Just thank you. I mean, thank you for spreading the film, all the people who have, because, you know, I'm no different from you. You know, it just, we had the ability to make this, and God put us in the place that we're in. And I'm just grateful that people are sharing it and that they're getting the truth out there, because ultimately we're going to decide whether or not we save this country and our children. And so just, you know, I thank people for doing their part.
Yep. you guys will see Robbie and Landon, myself, John Amanchukwu, Riley Gaines, teenagers being interviewed about what this culture is like for them, and a lot of other warriors who explain kind of how these ideologies coalesce and interact to create this beast that is the war on children in America. TheWarOnChildren.com. Robbie, thank you. We'll see you in Tennessee soon.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Thank you guys for joining the show today. Wow. Robbie and Landon, some of my favorite people. I hope that blessed you guys and encouraged you guys. This is, really a providential intervention. God has really moved to allow this film of Twitter, of all places. Isn't that amazing? X, the most unfriendly platform to conservatives. Now it's where conservatives are rushing to get their message out. And Elon Musk, the multi-billionaire, multiple moms of his children, semi-conservative, red-pilled, positioned to allow films like this to go wildly successful and awaken people in America. So go to thewaronchildren.com. If you guys want to help the show, please go to YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and Rumble for If I'm Ever Digitally Assassinated by YouTube. We almost had 3 strikes in 90 days. They do not like us. Go to Rumble to help protect the show and help it be successful. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a rating. It really helps us reach more people. Connect with Robbie in the show notes. Follow him, his wife, and his team, and the film. And if you want to join the White Rose Resistance, go to thewhiterose.life, thewhiterose.life. We are the fastest growing pro-life organization in America, and we need your help to tear down every high place of child sacrifice in America before it's too late and reawaken the church to her spiritual obligation to end this evil. Go to thewhiterose.life, sign up as an ally at $35 a month. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show.